Guys, it is great to be together. It's always a joy. I love my family. You know, I don't know if we're going to let them do it again, but Bob and Carmen was visiting with family while they were gone. And I was reminded of that as they sent some pictures of the congregation there at Olive Branch and the building there and the one at Green Forest in Poplar Bluff. We probably won't let them go away again, but I know that they had a great time. You know, my wife and I, we were reminded by talking to somebody last evening. And over the years, we're kind of like Brian and Shelley. We've lived in a lot of places. And we've met a lot of wonderful family that we didn't know we had. And we've developed relationships and have a lot of memories with that family. And the nice thing about God's family is even though we are not perfect, we are striving to be. And we treat one another in a proper way. And when once in a while we might get out of sorts, we work it out in the love of Christ and His guidelines. And that's a very wonderful thing. And I think that should be something that's very important to us as we have struggles and difficulties in life. We need to count on our family and God's family. And we need to make sure that we are a proper member of God's family by our actions. So very important. The lesson today is one that has come from a suggestion. And the lesson is dealing with King David as an example. And the mistakes that he made. And considering the mistakes that he made, in light of that, the question and the concern was, he could still be a man after God's own heart. And so we put that into the realm of our own lives. And we look back on our life. And we think about the sins that we've committed. And we hang our head. We talked about that Wednesday night. And how do you balance, you know, the fact that God puts our sins behind Him when we're washed in the blood of Christ? And then there's how do we forgive ourselves and how do we move on? I believe that this lesson, in my opinion, in my judgment, I think will help to deal with some of those questions. And it will help us, I believe, in my mind, to realize that even though I have made mistakes in the past, I can be clean and I can be precious in God's sight. And guys, there are none of us here that haven't sinned. And there's not one of us here that really is worthy, except we can be worthy by the blood of Jesus. There is nothing else. And so when we come together as a family, we come together on the same footing. That's all we've got is the blood of Jesus. But that's why we rely on it. That's why we also live according to the things that He has given us to do. The example that, or the reading that we had just a minute ago was Saul. Now, Saul was the king before David. God raised him up to the throne and gave him this great power and the honor and the ability to reign this great people of His. And the thing is, though, God had given Saul some instructions. And God told Saul, through Samuel, that you go to Gilgal and you wait 7 days. Well, Gilgal was the place of battle. Saul was waiting, and the enemy looked pretty bad. His soldiers began to get scared. They just started defecting. And so this informidable, or this this massive enemy that seemed like it was too great to conquer in the first place, now it's getting even worse because all of your powerful soldiers are defecting and they're running away. 7 days. 6 days. 5 days. 4 days. 3 days. 2 days, 1 day, a half a day to go, 11 hours to go, 6 hours to go, 1 hour to go. The sun's about to go down. Time's about out. Saul's saying, God said 7 days. We still got an hour. We got 30 minutes. I can't wait any longer. Bring the sacrifice and let's sacrifice. And then Samuel comes. He said, why didn't you wait? Why didn't you wait? At the 11th hour, Saul gave up. And God gave up on Saul. You see, God said 7 days. He didn't say 6 hours, 6 days, 11, or 23 hours. God said 7 days. And because of Saul's lack of desire and lack of strength to do what God says, he forced himself. And God said, I'll find me somebody else. And God found David. David came to the throne from following the sheep. You ever trailed along behind sheep? You ever been out west where they have those sheep shacks out in the wilderness? It's kind of interesting. It's kind of a lonely job, okay? They sit there and they watch the sheep and they shoot the coyotes. That's what they do. They're chasing the coyotes off. And the mountain lion. They're making sure that they're taken care of. It's a pretty lowly job. That's what David did. God raised him up, taught him to be a king, and put him in place. And here David is. Got all that power. He's king and ruler of this great nation. Put there by God. And then it comes time to go to war. David is very victorious in war. But this particular year, in this particular battle, David stays home. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 11. Second Samuel, rather. Sorry about that. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. I'm not going to read it all, but just a few verses. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in to him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her home. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. That's enough. David had many wives. He had the choice of what he wanted. But David failed. David, to begin with, tries to cover up his sin. And when he can't cover it up, he chooses to kill her husband. And then he takes Bathsheba into his house. And the child is born. But then as part of the punishment that God gives, the child dies. Pretty horrendous. Nathan came to David and told him a story. He told him a story about a man that had lots of sheep. And he went and he took his neighbor's sheep that only had one. It was a precious lamb. Very close to the family. And that man that had lots of sheep had some friends come. And instead of taking his own sheep to feed his friends, he took the one that had only one. And David said, he needs to die. Nathan said, you're the man. You're the one that stole the precious lamb. As we look at Psalm chapter 51, we're looking at King David and his recognition at that point. His acknowledgement finally of the greatness and the horrendous nature of the sins that he had committed. And it's this chapter that I want to focus on for the lesson today. And I'll go to that passage and we'll begin. And so you can hold your place there in Psalm 51 because I will be back and forth to that throughout this lesson, both this morning as we deal with it this morning and this afternoon. Because it's so very important, I think, as we look at King David, this man of God, this man after God's own heart. How can he be a man after God's own heart when we look at the struggles and the problems that he brought on himself and on those that are around him? In Psalm chapter 51, I'm not going to read the entire chapter in its context, but this is a chapter that shows David's heart when he was convicted of what he had done. As we look through this today, guys, I want us to each use this as an opportunity to look inward at ourselves. Don't look at your neighbor and what they've done. They're no worse than you or me. I want us to put ourselves in David's place and think about our own sin. I want us to look at his response to his sin and how he opened his eyes and he realized the fact that he was weak and he needed God and he needed to change and do better. Guys, it's so easy to sweep our sin under the rug as we talked Wednesday night about, you know, how do we deal with our past? You know, we've all got things with, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And we hang our head, I hope. Say, I'm not going to do that again. Like David. We need to put ourselves in his place and try to be the kind of man that David was. So that you and I can also be a man after God's own heart. Because we can. It doesn't matter our past. What matters is our present. In our future. In Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10, notice David's prayer to God. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. As we look at King David, as we look at his desire, he realizes that his heart was in shambles. He had a terrible heart. He had a situation where he had it was all black. It was terrible. He had committed adultery with this woman while her husband was out fighting a battle. And then to cover it up, he tries to kill him. His heart was terribly dark. But David, when he finally comes to his senses, he says, God, please, God, create in me a clean heart. I want to focus on that word create for just a minute. In the creation, God created this world from nothing. And maybe that is kind of the sense that we're looking at here. David, I think, realizes that he has nothing. He has sinned terribly against God. And you and I need to recognize the same thing. When we disobey God, we are sinning terribly against God. And we need to have the heart of David when we come to God and say, God, please, please help me. I'm weak. I need to be made over. I need to be different. My heart needs to change. And it's so easy to have a heart of stone because we get used to sin and we just keep on. Maybe we've been hurt and we do things out of the vengeance for the things that we suffered. But David says, stop. Please, God, I want a clean heart. Create it. Make it new. And then he continues on. And he says, please, God, he says, make in me a right spirit. Renew that spirit. And so it seems as though David certainly did start out with that good heart. But whether it was the power or whatever it was, the lust, something caused him to feel like he could commit this heinous crime. He says, God, please make my spirit new. Can you imagine? Once he actually realized that he had sinned, how he felt. David wept for days for the child. Please, God, heal the child. The child didn't do anything. But the child died. Guys, sometimes we need a new heart and a new spirit. I plead with you guys, don't let your heart get hard. You won't go to heaven with the hard heart. Your heart's going to have to be tender. You know, when Jesus said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Don't let the struggles and the ravages of life and time and sin cause you to be hard. Keep your spirit tender. Keep your heart pure. There's some things that are required if we want a clean heart and a pure spirit. Number one is a willingness. I want to go to Psalm chapter 40, just back two pages. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 8, I want us to notice here the attitude that you and I are going to have if we want to have this kind of a heart that David had before God. Notice he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Notice the delight. Now, that doesn't mean that he always liked it, but his delight was to do his law. In other words, as we look at this, if we want to be right before God, we're going to have to be willing. Now, I want us to stop for just a minute. Now, willingness doesn't mean that we're always excited about it. Do you ever really want to do exactly what God says when it goes against the grain? We're saying, wait a minute, God, don't you need to rethink this? It'd be a whole lot easier, God, if I could just do it my way. Wouldn't that be nice? But does that really work? Now, but the point being is a willingness. Too often we rely on us. How often do we rely on self to make it happen? You see, I think that willingness is a very important thing because in order for God to be able to work in our heart, we're going to have a willingness to allow Him to work in our heart. And that's what he needs. You know, because God can take you and me from where we're at and take us to where we need to be. But we've got to be willing, because he can't do it unless we want help. I need a lot of help. I don't know about you. I ain't got it together, okay? Just for the record. I'm working hard, and I plead every day for help to do better. And I know that I mess up, and I know that I do things that are wrong, but I delight to do God's law, and I want to do God's law, but it's a challenge. Your heart will never be right if you don't have a willingness. It will not. It cannot. There is no way that it will ever happen. We need to understand that we need to desire his guidance and teaching. In Psalm 143 in verse 10, Psalm 143 in verse 10, turn with me there. We need to remember that God has a plan. He's given us his plan in the Bible. And unless we have a desire to get in there and get it into our hearts and our minds, we're not going to be able to do anything about it. We can pretend like we've got a desire, but I'll tell you what, if desire isn't shown in action, is it desire? It's not. And so in Psalm 143 and verse 10, it says, "Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Notice here that the psalmist is saying, "God, please teach me." If you want God to teach you something, how's he going to do it? He's going to do it by you getting into the Bible and see what he says, right? That's the only way it's going to happen. And then, as we get that teaching, what do we need then? We need somebody to take us by the hand. This past week, I sat down with my flight instructor, and we spent about 2 hours going over the oral test for the instrument rating. It was so nice to have him ask some of these questions and then give me the details so that I could figure it out in my head. Okay? And the things that I'm struggling with, you know, that help where he just takes me by the hand and leads me through, then it's like a no-brainer. Well, that's easy now because I see it. Okay? But it doesn't really make any sense. But that's why we need God's leading. If you don't want his leading, you're not going to follow. I couldn't wait for that time to sit down with that instructor. But guys, it's the same thing when I sit down with God. And as I go through the day, you know, every day I'm faced with challenges, and I don't know how to deal with so many things. I just have to pray. You know, every day we got to pray for wisdom. Every day we got to pray for guidance. We got to pray for God to lead us. But if we're not willing to be led, it's not going to happen. If we're not willing to make changes as we read and study, it's not going to make any difference. It won't make any difference. Guys, we need that willingness. We need that desire to come before God. And see, this is the whole thing about King David. See, King David, he messed up just like me. But it upset him when he did. When he finally faced it face to face, he was upset terribly. And he pleaded with God to help him to do better. And you and I, if we're going to have the heart that God wants, we're going to have to come to him with that attitude. Please, God. But if we don't have the willingness and we don't have the desire to be led, it's not going to help. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, you know, this is a passage that honestly, I look at it often and I think about it a lot. Because I believe it's so very important. And I don't think that I have even scratch the surface of the realities and the depth of this passage. But Proverbs 4 and verse 23 simply says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now guys, your heart is not the pump in your body. Your heart is the seat of your emotions. And so if I sit down on this seat, the seat is holding me up. It's supporting me. And so in other words, as I think about my heart, I think about that which supports me and helps me to go forward. And when my heart is right with God, I'm going to be doing what God says. When I don't have a proper heart is when I sin. Guys, you need to keep your heart with everything you got. When struggles come with health or family or whatever it may be in your situation, when you meet challenges on a daily basis, you've got to keep your heart. I think about what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Young people, I want you to listen very carefully. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil day comes not. And he's talking about getting old. Now those of us that are older, you snicker at us and you think we don't know what we're talking about, but you may be 12 or 13 or... Is Leanne 8?
7.
And you think it's going to be forever. And you think that there's no reckoning. It was yesterday that I was Leanne's age. Years ago in time, but yesterday. You young people need to remember something. You're making your bed for the rest of your life. You hear what I'm saying? You're making decisions right now. And we know that, don't we? Okay, here, we're older. We know that. And you young people think, no big deal. But I got news for you. It is a big deal. Keep your heart. And the way you keep your heart, you do what God says. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You follow Him carefully. You think about what He says and you make sure that you live. You make sure that you look at the Bible to see what kind of leading and kind of direction you need. You need to make sure that you need to think about what the words you need to be saying. You make sure you think about how do you respond to your parents. You know, if you don't learn to obey your parents now when you're young, you don't have much chance. Because if you can't obey your parents, you can't obey God. Now, I remember how hard it is to obey parents. I remember thinking how unreasonable they were. I didn't like milking cows. And I didn't like picking rock. But I did it. Obeying my parents taught me to obey God, and it taught me to learn to have a proper heart. Guys, it's not about making your parents' life easier. It's about helping you to have a real life, a good life. But then the rest of us are a little older, aren't we? We've got a parent. He's called the Heavenly Father. Just like our children need to obey our every word.
you and me, we've got to obey God.
We expect obedience from our children. Do we show our children obedience to God? Do we have a heart that will acknowledge your faults humbly, submissively, and go forward with a changed life and changed attitude? They're watching us. And they become us.
You see, David, when he recognized that he was wrong, he said, God, God, please, help me to be different.
And I believe that God helped him. And I believe that David never did that again. He changed. Just like you and I need to humbly come before God and change. To live for Him, to put Him first, to do His will, to give it all that we've got. God's so good. Can't believe that He does so good to us. We think of our blessings and the wonderful life that we get to live. What do you give to God? Is God the priority in your life, or is He kind of a chip that you pull out once in a while when you need Him? God needs to be your everything. He needs to be the priority in your life. You need to serve Him with everything you possess. You begin that service by reading His Bible and finding out what He has to say. Gaining the faith in Him. Hebrews 11:6, you can't please Him without that faith. You can't please Him without study. Finding out what He says. When you find out what He says, you're going to have to make some changes. You see, David says, God created me a clean heart. He was wrong. He admitted it, and he changed. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. It's called repentance today. Now commands all men everywhere to repent. We don't have a choice. Repent or be lost. Luke 13:3. Jesus is in charge of your life. You need to acknowledge it by confessing that He's the Son of God and that you believe it. Romans 10:9. You need to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. No other reason to work. But guys, if you don't get up and live for Him afterwards, you've got troubles. You don't have the heart of David. I want to challenge everybody here today. Let's be like the David that says, God, create in me a clean heart. And let's get up and go forward from this very moment. With a renewed zeal and a desire and a determination to live for Him. Lest tomorrow it's eternally too late. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation now, please, guys, do it now while we stand and sing.